Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. Are you here, Carol?
Yes, I am.
Well,
good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. We got a great show today. I must tell you, Carol, I'm all ready for this show. I'm sitting here very serious, ready to go. And that little voice comes on. And every single week, I smile right down to my heart. It just warms me to hear that little old 8-year-old voice. When now I have a deep baritone I live with, but that little soprano voice, it's all so cute. It makes me so happy. So every week I enter the show very happy. So today is an interesting day. There's a lot to learn today. We're going to focus on something very important in that understanding our body and understanding and maintaining a watch on our parameters of our blood, our urine, our entire health can help us direct ourselves to a higher level of health. But what we find is that very often the parameters that are being shown to us do not give us enough direction. They really don't direct us toward health. They point out disease, but they don't give us direction to become healthier. They're disease monitors rather than directions in relationship to health. So today, we're going to be going back to the basics. We're going to look at blood tests that we've talking about, new work, spoken about multiple times before, but we're going to look at them and discuss how you can look at them to understand yourself and your body. We will be taking calls today, which I find very exciting because that includes you in our conversation. And this is going to be a good one. The number to call, 212-209-2877. And you might want to look at some of your blood tests and call us up and ask some questions. Carol, you want to start this conversation out?
Yes, we've already started last week talking about lab testing, which is often a routine for yearly checkups. And sometimes you go in and you have some issues you want to cover. So
I'm going to interrupt you right here. And what do you get told? Oh, everything's fine.
Right.
Bye.
And no correlation to how miserable you're feeling. There's a reason for that.
No understanding.
Yep. The reason for that is they didn't use the right lab test to find out what was wrong with you. And maybe it doesn't exist. That's also possible. But I'd like to start out with, I've been doing some looking at hormones, and I'd like to start out with thyroid, which as long as we've been testing thyroid, it's still full of misconceptions and a lack of understanding. I remember talking to one woman. She was going to an endocrinologist. She had a nodule on her thyroid, and her hair's falling out in handfuls, a remarkable low thyroid sign. And she's at an endocrinologist, and the endocrinologist says, just collect your hair and bring it in so I can see it, while doing nothing, zero to help her. And of course, she'd already been past the primary care or your usual doctor and been bumped up to an endocrinologist, you would think you would get some action. So I wanted to use that as an example, because people can come into your office and have every low thyroid symptom under the sun, and your test comes back sort of normal. And your doctor says, well, nothing to do here, completely missing the evidence right in front of their eyes. So
let me bring up an example of a patient. Okay. And she was a lovely young woman in her late 20s. And she had a history of thyroid disease. So they gave her a very, very low dose of thyroid hormone, which happens to be only one of the hormones, T4. And we're going to discuss that shortly, what that means, which means you're only partially treating the problem. So she was given that, and her symptoms, listen to this, Carol, was she was losing hair. Her legs had so much pain in them. She had tremendous leg pain, and she was so chronically constipated that in order to pass bowel, she had to sit in a bathtub to be able to get the bowel to move. And she went back to her doctor and said, you know, I am not being, I need more thyroid. And he looked at her blood test, which was in a high normal range, and said, no, I refuse to give it to you because you're within a high normal range. Well, when she came to me and I looked at it, I said, well, my goodness. So we gave her a complete thyroid, a T3, a T4. And since it was a natural source, it also had some T2 in it. And immediately, her leg pain went away. Her bowels normalized. Her hair stopped falling out. And her whole mood changed, which is quite logical since her body was functioning better. Also, she was totally cold all the time, and now she wasn't. And that is where lab tests kind of betray us. So you go on, Carol, explain to us.
Okay. I believe you're referring to TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And it's actually not a thyroid hormone. It's a pituitary hormone. Your pituitary is a master gland and gives directions to other glands. And that's one of the hormones it produces to do so. However, it's a test that is often used when you say a patient was high normal. I believe the range is going from about 0.5 to, depending on what lab you use, 3.5 all the way up to 5. And even though the Endocrine Society met and said it should be at the upper limits at 3.5, lots of labs are still at the higher level. This little one marker is full of problems, because when you gave your patient that whole thyroid with T4, which is inactive until your body converts it to T3, that's the active one, when you gave that to your patient and they went for a laboratory test the next time, TSH would be bottomed out. So the treatment suppresses the TSH. And why wouldn't it? Because you don't need it so much anymore to stimulate your thyroid, to make thyroid. You've got a source of thyroid. So you're there around zero, at which time your primary care physician, who's found out you're using whole thyroid, says, you're hyperthyroid now because your TSH is suppressed. You better get off that thyroid just when the patient is doing so beautifully well.
Exactly.
Many times have you run into that?
Very often. But you know what? What I've seen lately is the range is 0.9 to 4.5. That is a giant range. And people, like you said, 0.5, people feel good at 0.5, 0.8, 0.6, and that
zero.
0.5, exactly. Well, exactly. And what happens is that the ranges do not correlate. I will never forget Dr. Teitelbaum, Jacob Teitelbaum, who used to be on the show regularly, said something. He said, you know, the range of thyroid is similar to someone walks in with a size 5 foot, which is normal, and they're given a size 11 shoe, and then they come back and say, this is a problem. I can't walk right. This isn't the right size. And then you look at them and say, what's the matter with you? It's normal.
Yes. Normal, or is it, it's sort of an abbreviate. It's a whole different concept of normal, because labs tend to use their databases to help set their ranges. And then you have most of the people having these tests are taking the tests because something's wrong. And then so the whole range of things becomes lopsided because of the kind of people that were tested to create the database the labs used to set a reference range. I have something I want to insert here before we go too far, because when I get a TSH test with or without thyroid, my TSH is 0.001. And if you look at me, you would say, oh, you look low thyroid. But many, many doctors look at that very low TSH and say, oh, you must be high thyroid, hyperthyroid. Of course, I'm not. I have what is a secondary low thyroid, and that means the pituitary can't make that TSH. So it's not giving the thyroid the stimulation it needs. It's called secondary hypothyroidism. And lots of people walking around with that, but doctors are failing to consider that when your TSH is very low. So maybe they missed that class in their endocrinology section. I don't know, but this is really, really prevalent. Missing secondary hypothyroidism. Of course, there's a tertiary if you want to get more complicated, but let's just go this far.
Okay. And so how can we kind of look deeper than the TSH so that we can evaluate our thyroid function? And there are multiple tests, but it's not just one test. They go together to create a picture, but most of the times when you see a blood test, they're never there. So one of them, I know, they never take it. One of them is T4 and free T4, and the other is T3 and free T3, but then the one that they never, ever take is reverse T3. Let's explain those to people and why they're important. But there's more. Go on, Carol.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of explaining to do for people. So so the thyroid gland mainly puts out T4. So it's got to do that adequately. And it's inside the cell that you really start turning that T4 into T3. But what we look at is total T4. But it also includes that amount of T4 that's bound to a carrier protein. So we normally, our hormones are attached to what we call carrier proteins. They're attached to other things to carry you along in the bloodstream and get where you need to go. So this, if the thyroid T4 or T3 is bound to a carrier protein, it's considered not as available as the free hormone. And this could be debatable because it's the carrier protein and when does it become free or not free or whatever. But there's a couple of really important things here. if there's too much carrier protein, it's a consideration that we have to think about. You're not getting enough thyroid to be working with easily.
Made available to your cells.
Right. And then there's a clue here. If, say, your T4, free T4 was high enough, and I consider the top third of the range where you should be optimally, if that is high, and then you look at free T3, the active one, or T3 total, and it's low, it's going to give you a hint that you are perhaps not converting the inactive thyroid into active thyroid as you should be. Now, that's dependent on other hormones like progesterone, pregnenolone in your body to be helping you do that. So you have
minerals.
A clue there.
And minerals, and selenium, iodine.
Yes, right.
All of the, so it's not just a one thing and it fits all. It's a balance.
Yeah, which we have not measured either, come to think of it, as we're as we're trying to evaluate what's going on with the thyroid. And then I heard this very interesting thing, like T3 total. I think it was Dr. Mark Gordon said this. I was reading one of his slides, and he goes, T3 total is both reverse T3 and T3. So that was kind of staggering to me. So let me explain reverse T3. When your body converts from T4 to T3, your body makes a right-handed and a left-handed looking molecule. And one of those fits into the receptor but produces no activity at all. This is the reverse T3. And your body, consequently, when this goes up, is producing a sort of hibernation. So the hibernation is a defense mechanism by your thyroid. If there's too much stress, too much external forces, your body will ramp itself down a bit by making more of this inactive, active T3 hormone. And sometimes people get stuck there. They actually get stuck. The original stress that started the whole thing could be gone, but you're stuck. You can't turn your metabolism back on.
So
I got to get rid of this stuff on my phone.
So what happens is that we want to look at all parameters, but there's one other thing to look at, because it's very, very common. It's not unusual to experience an autoimmune relationship to thyroid, and that's called Hashimoto's. And the Hashimoto's is a virus, an inflammatory, that sits inside or moves inside the thyroid and creates thyroid dysfunction. And so I always, with my first time checkup, check for antibodies, because sometimes you can't see it in the numbers, but you can see it in the antibodies that something is attacking the thyroid. And when that is happening, the treatment becomes a little different, in that what happens is you want to protect that thyroid. You want to make sure there's adequate magnesium. You want to make sure there's adequate essential fatty acids so that the thyroid is protected. And you want to bring down inflammation throughout the entire body. And guess what? One of the first things I do, if I see those antibodies, I pull people off of wheat, aggravating relationship to those antibodies. Go on, Carol.
Well, I think this is really interesting. I have heard numbers as high as 60% of people with low thyroid symptoms have Hashimoto's, this issue with the antibodies. And doctors are not measuring it because they don't know what to do. And when this happens, always go to the gut. There's there's a dysbiosis in the gut. And as Corinne just said, wheat can be, and some other things, corn, soy, they can be very antigenic and disrupt your gut functioning. So that's a great first step when this is going on. But the focus is not on using thyroid hormone in this case. The focus is really healing your gut.
So that got us in a good, that kicked us off. And it gave a lot of the audience a lot to think about, particularly when so many people go in, say, could you check my thyroid? And they get a TSH. And it's
right.
Oh, everything's normal. That doesn't matter very much, because we're not feeling our best. We're not sleeping deeply. We don't have the energy that we want to throughout the day. Our hands are cold. Our feet are freezing, even on hot days. And yet, everything is normal.
I heard one physician say he observed his neighbor who had low thyroid symptoms right in front of his eyes, but it took 20 years for the TSH test to become bigger than the range. So that I don't know why it lags behind like that, but it moves
slowly.
Could have
felt better during those 20 years. It moves slowly. The TSH can move slow. It can move rapidly, but it also can move very slowly. And so you're looking at it, but you're not seeing a dysfunction. One reason, because the range is too broad, but also because it moves slowly, but people don't feel their best. And we have the technology to understand this, so we can then treat appropriately. Carol, where do you want to go?
I'm still on thyroid. So your thyroid is really important for maintaining your metabolic rate. That means your energy, keeping your energy up. Fatigue is a big symptom related to low thyroid. And it also keeps your body temperature up. And this is another thing with the poor lady that I talked about at the beginning with her hair falling out. Her body temperature was 94. And here's another place where doctors, not only don't they measure thyroid necessarily when you go for your checkup, even if you have like 94 or 95, they really don't pay that much attention to it. So you're low thyroid. So if you got to say 96, you would be running a fever and in that situation. So what should the temperature be? Well, Ellen Gaby wrote some articles on this a long time ago, and we used to think 98.6 is where we should be, give or take a little bit, but that should be a good place for our body temperature to be. Unfortunately, he wrote that somebody reproduced this test where they decided that was an optimal temperature. They now said that the normal body temperature is dropping. And what does that tell us?
Very, very few people that come into my office. I mean, if I see a 98.6, I go, wow, that's wonderful.
Yep. I know. What are you doing?
Seldom. It is so seldom.
Okay, this is a test you can do at home. Now, Dr. Broda Barnes wrote a great book on thyroid, Hypothyroidism, the Not Unsuspected Illness. And why it's so hard is because thyroid does so many things throughout your body, but your doctors are being taught on cause and effect. One thing leads to another thing, and that's what you need to be looking for. Rather than have all these pervasive body symptoms, and the doctor's just not putting it together and saying this all has an underlying problem, which is a low thyroid. Now, Broda Barnes had people, he did some elaborate metabolic testing, which is no longer available, but he correlated this with just using a thermometer under your arm the first thing in the morning before you got up as a diagnostic. And if your temperature was not 97.8 to 98.2 before you got up in the morning, before you moved, and that thermometer was under your arm for 10 minutes, then, and that's the reading you got, you didn't have enough thyroid activity. However, those were the old mercury thermometers, and I don't know that anybody's done a good study how that compares to the digital. But there's another little piece of this. If your adrenal glands are not functioning properly to support your thyroid, you could actually, it's not the thyroid's fault that your temperature is low. It could be a lack of adrenal functioning, and then you need to go look in that direction too. One other thing I want to talk about thyroid, Broda Barnes said, total cholesterol was a better measurement of low thyroid than the thyroid test that we were just talking about. So that's another thing I always look at. You need thyroid to be converting cholesterol over to pregnenolone, which is the next hormone that your body makes from cholesterol.
And when it's elevated, when cholesterol is elevated, Broda Barnes said give thyroid, and I literally consistently see the cholesterol going down because you are now able to utilize your fats in a different way. I don't run for statins if I see elevated cholesterol. I start looking at the thyroid to see how to balance it so we can begin to balance the cholesterol, which is a very important piece of this picture, because thyroid is our internal cellular thermometer or a thermal regulator. And what happens is our enzymes run on temperature. If our temperature isn't correct, none of the enzymes or the metabolic functions in the body can be accurate or appropriate. That's why one time I got one of a thyroid book, and it said symptoms of thyroid. And there was like a page, single space list of symptoms of low thyroid. And I put my hands to my head and I said, oh my God, how could this be? How am I going to be able to identify it? And how can thyroid have such a profound effect on the entire body? And it does by the fact that all the intercellular actions in our body, from our brain to our toes, are being moderated by temperature. And that temperature is directly correlated to a balanced thyroid. So can we go
I think on? We should get up. We need to give out the number again. We need some conversation on this.
The number is 209-2877. We'd love you to join the conversation. Carol, I've been doing a deep dive into something. It's called, and I'll give out the number again, 212-209-2877. And I've been doing a deep dive into looking at diabetes testing and what do we look at and why do we look at it and how do we balance it, or blood sugar balancing testing. I've been looking at that. And so I'm just going to read off a list of things and then I want to go through them with you. Okay, Carol?
Okay.
Glucose. Now, we all know when the glucose isn't balanced, we really have to look at our blood sugar. Sometimes we just look at the meal we had the night before. But then when we go to a hemoglobin A1C, then what we have is we have a 90-day reading of our glucose. So if that's imbalanced, we've got 90 days, an average. It's a graph. It's an average of the blood sugar over 90 days, because that's the life of the red blood cell. So that's a very important reading. Your blood sugar could be normal, but your hemoglobin A1C can be out of balance. And so there you are. And what is more important? You really have to look at the hemoglobin A1C, because what you did was you caught something that you weren't able to catch on a spot reading of glucose. But then guess what? Even before hemoglobin A1C, there's something even more important than that. And that's called insulin. And the insulin level is essential to understand what it's taking for your body to balance your glucose. If your insulin is elevated and your glucose is normal, we know your body's working too hard to maintain a normal blood glucose. If your insulin is low normal and your glucose is normal, then we know we've got a beautiful balance right there. But then there's other things to look at. We want to look at triglycerides, because triglycerides are sticky fats that move through the circulation. And when the made from carbohydrates, when they're elevated, we know that you're not metabolizing those carbohydrates correctly, or you're overeating them. But there's other ways to do it also. Go on, Carol, you want to dive in here?
Yeah, I do want to dive in here. So normally we're asking for a fasting glucose. Your doctor will have you come in fasting. And the fasting glucose levels should be optimal at something like 65 to maybe 80. I'm seeing a lot of 90, 95s, sort of a pre-diabetic level of glucose. And then when you look at fasting insulin, there's an optimal here too. That should be less than 6 if you're checking that out. So that's important to look at, because insulin can become abnormal and high far before you see it in the glucose levels. Then I was listening to, I think it was Dr. Tinsdale at an A4M conference, and she was talking about you can see abnormalities in insulin and glucose in a test that you run 2 hours after you've eaten. And nobody's looking at that. We're sending people in for fasting. But some of these abnormalities start showing up at a 2-hour postprandial, we call that. And that's after a meal. So if you want to be more thorough with your doctor, you would check that as well. Maybe you would check both times. Generally, doctors are not doing that, but it could be asked for, and you could do this extra checking. So those are all important. I hope triglycerides, I've forgotten a number, but you want to keep the triglycerides
less than
low. Less than 100. I was thinking less that, but I wasn't 100. Sure.
Yes.
So it's a good thing to know. But no. if you go and have the cholesterol panel done and you've just eaten a big meal, your triglycerides are going to be higher than you were fasting. So it's important to know how you went in for that test and what's the circumstances around it.
Now, we have someone that wants to join our conversation, Carol.
Cool, great.
What I'm going to ask you to do is, since there's more than one person, I'm going to ask you to please be patient, hang on, and we'll get to you. The number to call, 212-209-2877. Hi, you're live. Your name, please.
Hi. My name is Shabazz. I'm calling from Bridgeport.
Hi, Shabazz. Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Yes, yeah, sure. Is that better?
A little
yes.
bit.
Listen, words can't express how much I love you ladies. So now that that's out of the way.
Thank you so much.
I want to ask you, first of all, I had a thyroid issue back in 2003. And I had hyperactive, and I had a procedure done. And, you know, in my, those were my ignorant days as far as health is concerned. So I don't remember what that procedure was. It was, I took a pill that I guess deactivated the thyroid, and then I had to go on Synthroid.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that procedure?
Yes, yes. The pill is thyrosol, and what it does is it ablates or stops the functioning of the thyroid cell glands. Well, they use that quite regularly when the thyroid is surging. Now, that is one way of treating it. Sometimes they do surgery. Sometimes they do that. But there are holistic... Radioactive iodine. But there are also some holistic ways of working with it. But when you're working with it, you have to watch it carefully because you don't want it to get too elevated, and then it can be dangerous. But how do you feel now?
I feel great now. But here's the thing. I took Synthroid for the next 8 years, and for the past 15, I haven't taken it at all.
Well,
and I have to tell you that I can't tell the difference as far as when I was taking it versus now that I haven't been taking it for 13 years. I still feel the same. I'm in my late 50s now. And, but I want to talk more about the cholesterol panel too. I'm trying to go quick because I know you got other callers.
Can I make a comment on the thyroid? Sure. I'd love to know what your levels are. I'd do a complete thyroid test on you with antibodies and just look at it. Now you don't want to fix something that right now isn't broken, but there might be something hidden there that we could deal with that could optimize your health. But go on. So next question quickly.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit afraid to check it because I haven't taken it in 13 years. So, but I will eventually though.
Then call back into the program.
I will.
Check your body temperature. You can do that at home.
Oh, that's a very good one.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I feel great. I feel even better now talking to you ladies, but I feel great normally. And I just had two cholesterol panels done in the past 6 months. And I had my triglycerides come down by 8 milligrams. But here's the thing though, my HDL went down and my LDL went up. And so what happened to my triglyceride HDL ratio, which was not bad at first, but it increased a little bit. And the number in December was 1.9, the ratio. With the triglycerides being 98 and the HDL being 57. And then again in July, the triglycerides went down to 90, but my HDL also went down to 47, which then increased the ratio to 1.9.
Do you exercise?
I'm sorry?
Do you exercise?
I just started about a month ago, and I'm doing about five to six mile walk every day.
Wow, beautiful.
Very brisk walk. Nothing leisurely here, ladies.
Uh-huh.
Very brisk.
Now, you know what? I'm going to add something. It's going to sound a little silly, but you know what? It works. When you come back from that walk, I'd love you to take a cold shower.
You must be reading my mind or right here with me because that's exactly what I do.
Because what will happen, you go into the cold water as cold as you can stand. Then you come out, you turn the cold water off, and you stand there and you shiver a little, and then you go back into the cold water. And what will happen is that your body temperature will go into a more an optimal level between the exercise and the cold, and it might make a big difference in your energy and also your ability to utilize fats. Also, look at your diet. Very important, too.
I want to put something in here.
Oh,
you're not. This is a big danger, point. You are not your number on your test. And neither of those tests are particularly alarming. In fact, they're quite good. But if you took the test every day for a week, you'd have a different set of numbers each day. It's not stagnant. You're not there. And this is another great area where people think they're their number and that's it until they get a new number. That's not how it works. It's very variable. It varies to what exercise you've had, if you had sex the night before, what you ate in the last 24 hours. These things are all affecting what your test results are. So just keep in mind, you are not that number. And unless you start showing a definite trend in a certain direction, I wouldn't worry about those particular numbers. And nothing to worry about. No big effort needed to make changes because of what you just reported.
Okay, that's
great. Thank you very much.
I'm on one meal a day. I took out all the processed carbs, so thank you very much, ladies.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, that was good at any rate, no matter what your numbers were.
Hi.
Thank you.
You're live.
You're
joining the radio show live.
Hello.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, yes.
I would appreciate if you speak a little bit louder.
I'm going to talk nice and loud. This is Rose. Many years ago, I had a teacher who had goiter and taught us that iodine was the magic thing. And, of course, we've had iodine salt all these years. I'm a big fish eater, and I don't worry about my thyroid. Can dietary approaches help?
Help what? The goiter? Shrink
well, the goiter? She had goiter. I mean, she had no iodine in her diet when she was young, and said that people in the Midwest didn't have much iodine. So she had mentioned the fact that eating fish or iodized salt was beneficial.
Yes. In fact, I grew up in Wisconsin, and we had goiter pills every week at our school.
Oh,
and that was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Midwest of the U.S. is really low in iodine in soil. Yeah, the goiter belt, as it's called. So, yes, I wanted to make sure that we cover this iodine thing because this is another thing you can test for. You can check your iodine levels, and it's a challenge test where you take some iodine and then you collect urine and see if that iodine is actually coming out in the urine. And what happens, it might be very low, which means that your body is just sucking up that iodine like crazy. And then you can measure, chlorine and bromide. Fluoride, you can also check. And these things are occupying some of the same receptor sites and blocking your ability to have iodine. And this is really, really a basic because our body needs iodine to make thyroid hormone in the first place. When you talk about T3 and T4, the three, these are iodine molecules. You need tyrosine with the iodine. And there is a possible issue here that I could bring up because let's say T4, you need to have four iodines on it. Now, suppose one of those iodines is not iodine, but a bromide. Can our tests that we're doing distinguish if you have your full complement of iodine. And it can't. If you had a T4 test done, it's not going to let you know whether you have enough iodines on that molecule. It's kind of a scary proposition here. But I'm glad you brought that up.
What I do, and I've said this many times on the radio, first of all, there's iodine in the air because we're on the ocean. And so we're getting some just from the breeze from the ocean, some degree of it. We generally, living where we live, are not in an iodine belt or iodine deficiency area. But what I do is I go to the beach and I've got a rake and a bag. Carol's heard this so many times. She's yawning.
Yes.
She's yawning.
Yawn.
Right.
Yawn.
But, and I take that and I put it all over my garden, even if it's small plants. It's a small tomato plant in a pot because that increases the iodine in the foods that we eat and that we pick. And it's a wonderful thing to do. The number to call, thank you for your call. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Now, Carol, I want to talk a little bit about taking a blood test for hormones. Now, that's a tricky one.
Can we save this for next week? Because I'd like
it's
to
a big one.
Do
it. Yes.
Yeah, it's a big one. And we're getting to the end of the show. There's still some more things to talk about with thyroid. And I'd like to say that, and then cholesterol too, because we have situations where cholesterol is too low and, your liver is not making enough cholesterol. And this is craziness to drug people so their cholesterol gets down to 120, 150. Danger, danger, danger. You're subject to all sorts of problems, including accidents and including cancer deaths. So we've introduced
immune system, depression.
Yeah. Right, right. So we've introduced a mechanism to drive cholesterol down, down, down. And doctors need to be exploring if your cholesterol is actually in a bad area or if it's perfectly good. Now, I know, Corinne, you talked with Dr. Thomas Lewis, who's been looking for lab optimals. I want to interject here. Cholesterol, according to Dr. Lewis, and I've seen this other places too. He's not alone, and he researched the literature for it. Optimal should be 200 to 280.
What now? 180 to 280.
180 to 280. Now I saw him at 200, and then 220 even.
Oh,
220.
He's going up. I'm looking at his website right now. But now, guess what, Carol? We've got two more listeners calling. So
excellent, excellent.
Hi, you're live on BAI. Please speak up. You know what? I can't. You're going to have to pretend like you're yelling at me because I cannot hear you at all.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Oh, that's great.
Yes, hi. Yes, I know you guys are in a rush, I'm sure. But my call is about I've been trying to get in contact with your office. Because I definitely would like to see you, Corinne. And it's been very difficult. I have not been able to get through the 646 number. And can you please give out that number again? I think I have the right number because I listen to your show all the time.
Well,
and
thank
I wrote
you
it many
so much.
Times.
Now, you can go on my website at Corinne Health. And you can make an appointment there or have a 15-minute free consultation. Or you can go on Carol's website, Wellness by Design Project, and you can make an appointment there.
It's It's the wellness.
Oh, sorry.
By Design Project. You won't get it.
Yes, but we'll get you to us. And
is there a number
both of us
I can get through?
Yes. You can go on the internet or you can call the 646 number.
Okay. So keep calling the 646 number, right?
Okay. And what's your name again?
My name is Danny.
Danny, I'll expect to hear from you.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. You make me feel good. Hi. All right. You're live.
No more
your
callers.
Name, please.
No more callers.
Oh, okay. So someone hung up.
We might have lost the one we couldn't hear.
Oh, yeah. That was
okay. Great. So where are we? And then I think we should talk just a brief moment about thyroid. What kind of foods support your thyroid? What kinds of foods don't?
We've got just a few minutes because I also want to talk about cholesterol ranges.
Okay.
I want to continue that conversation.
Okay.
I'll talk fast. So the cholesterol 180 to 280, which is quite surprising because if you're on that range, they want to put you on statins. But the LDL is greater than 100, whereas general lab parameters are less than 100. The HDLs, that's the solid, dense, natural fat in the bloodstream, greater than 50. The thyroid hormone is 0.4 to 1.5. Now, the 1.5...
That's a TSH one.
Yes, that's a TSH. And the endocrinologists were higher than that, but the internist said 1.5. And that's what they're finding. And then ferritin level. And ferritin, Carol, this is one of your favorite subjects, is an inflammatory marker. So you want it from 40 to 150. You want to make sure that it's not too high. And it's not creating inflammation. And that's a really lovely lipid panel. Carol, now you want to talk about foods for thyroid?
Or maybe just add more one thing.
You got 2 minutes, my darling. Minute and a half.
Oh, the LDL. I was at a low-carb USA conference. And the healthiest people doing marathons, ultra marathons, had very high LDL levels, like 500, 800. So there's something seriously wrong with how we call that a bad cholesterol number. I don't like the idea of good or bad anything in your body. It's supposed to be there. I will agree that one thing or another can be lopsided. But
imbalance.
I don't think we shouldn't call these things good and bad and have these goals, which are really not based in solid science. It's a very shaky theory, and it still is a theory, although we've embedded it into conventional medicine really seriously. And these conventional medicine ranges, lab ranges, and ideals are decided by committees that are not necessarily got a person's best interest in mind. They may be highly motivated to sell drugs, which is a flaw of our medical system. So we have to keep a lot of things in mind as we're doing this. And so I'm so glad that we're talking about testing because many people do go to the doctors. They get an annual exam or something. They get this set of tests, and doctors are doing if this and well, that. We're done.
Two more words, girl. Thank you.
Well,
always fun. I love when the listeners call in. It really is. It enhances the entire show. And Carol, when we're together, I always learn. So thank you for being here with me.
Me too. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the listeners. Check out our websites. Where both of us have new improved websites. Oh, so yeah, we'd like you to check us out.
You're going to be surprised. So thank you, Reggie, for the work you do to keep us on and keep us connected.
Bye. Thank you, Reggie. Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.